Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Greg Kellogg, and I don't.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to session 330 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. We are here ever so closer to the NFL season. And, well, we're not going to get too ahead of ourselves. I know we have a listener question about preseason, so we're just going to jump straight into Rocky's going to be on his way. He'll get here when he gets here. But we have Greg here, and it's worth just jumping straight into the interview for this because Greg is wonderful. So, Greg, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Okay, well, my name is Greg Kellogg, Gregory L. Kellogg on Twitter. I do fantasy football as a hobby. I retired in 2016 from fantasy football, decided to come back to play in 2021, and I went into the Hall of Fame in 2010 with the inaugural class. You can find my work on the Sports Affiliation. Basically, all I do now is a Thursday night podcast with Tip Major. And this week, 2 days from now, we have Marcus Grant from the NFL Network as our guest.
Yeah, I got to talk to him a little bit at the expo. Great guy.
Yes. And, you know, for your listeners, whether you're a player, a content creator, a vendor, it doesn't matter. If you can get to the expo, it's an experience of a lifetime for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody that you see on TV, on YouTube, here on SiriusXM, they're all there. You can meet them. You can put a face to a name. You can shake their hands. You can ask them questions. They'll answer it. Plus, it's in the frickin' Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame. And I know I'm 68 years old. Last year was the first year I ever visited the NFL Hall of Fame, and it was worth it.
Yeah, and the expo has been 5 or 6 times. Once I didn't go to the Hall of Fame like that. And it hasn't really changed. A couple of things changed, but like it's awe inducing every single time you go, even though it's very, 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 very similar. It's just amazing.
It brought Tip to tears. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It did. It was that moving for Tip Major, my co-host.
Yeah, it really, especially if, I mean, I got into the game a little later. I started watching football around like 2005, you know, like that's when I started. Like, I mean, I watched a little bit when I was a kid, you know, the Lawrence Taylor, Phil Sims. I'm from New Jersey. Those days I was a big Boomer Esiason fan just because I think I like the name Boomer. But I didn't really get into it until much later in life. But even still, like walking through these names, I kind of know it's still just like, so it's, if you're ever in the Ohio area, it is absolutely worth the trip.
It certainly is. And the people that do the Fantasy Football Expo, I tell people, if you've been in this business, this industry for 10 years, you are automatically a good person. Now, the reason I say that is because our community is driven by community. Yeah. You don't get big in this industry without building a network of friends. And quite frankly, every industry has shysters and conmen that get into it. You've all heard the stories of commissioners that took your league dues and then didn't pay out the winner. It happens. But they don't last in the fantasy football industry because the word gets around and people shun them. And so anybody that's been in for 10 years, you can guarantee is a good person, and they will all talk to you. There's nobody that's too important to talk to anybody that plays fantasy football.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so speaking of fantasy football, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I actually had to put that down on paper. It was 37 years. I started in 1986. I was stationed at the National Security Agency in Fort Meade, Maryland. Yep, I was in the Army. I was a Russian linguist. Some guy says, you want to try this new game? And I said, sure, why not? And I took Barry Sanders with my first ever pick. And you asked me some questions I'm not going to be able to answer because I'm old. I don't remember everything that I used to do. But frankly, I remember I won the first league because I took Barry Sanders, and then I started drafting players from other teams. When it was a new game to everybody, they were all drafting their favorite team's player. Yeah. It gives you a big advantage when you get the stars from 8 or 10 teams and you go against guys that just took the players from their own team.
And there's still people that do that nowadays.
Not anybody that plays against me.
Homers are homers.
They learn.
And so how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
You know, that's one of the ones I had trouble answering. I'm just not sure. It was sometime in the 2010s I played in my first league. When I came back in 2021, I actually joined a Dynasty league that I've been in for 3 years. So that's the most recent.
All right. So one league, 3 years ever since you came back?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And Scott Fishbowl, which is redraft every year. And then last year, I started my own league, beat a Hall of Famer league, and naturally somebody beat a Hall of Famer. So I ended up going to Trophy Smack and getting them a championship ring.
Oh, the stuff they have there.
It's cool. It really is.
All right. So you've been playing for a while, as I can say, because you've said it. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made along those years?
That's another one. I retired at the end of 2015. So I don't remember the trades from those leagues.
You don't need to go that far back. It's fun to bring up the old names, but
This year I did a trade, last year actually. I gave up Justin Jefferson and Kendre Miller, and I got Amari Cooper and David Montgomery. So I upgraded my running back, which was weak in that league. And I don't think that the Amari Cooper is a huge downgrade from Justin Jefferson. Yes, it's a downgrade, but not enough to justify a 13 TD running back.
Yeah. All right. And then when
the worst one is the same trade.
I was about to say, you wrote the same trade.
Because I gave up the best player in the trade, which I try not to do. I gave up Justin Jefferson. I try to always get the best player in a trade. Doesn't always work out. If I'm going for depth, I've got to give up talent.
Yeah.
But I try to upgrade my teams, which means I try to get the best player.
All right. And so what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
It's got to be win-win. The key to making trades is building trust with your league mates. And if you're screwing your league mates every chance you get, they're not going to trade with you. And frankly, it's hard enough for me to get trades just because people know I'm in the Hall of Fame. And so they're always afraid they're getting taken or that I know something they don't know, which is not always the case. So I try to make all my trades win-win.
Yeah. And that is the absolute ties in with the motif of everything you've been saying so far. Be good. Good things happen.
Yeah, well, karma's a bitch. Oh, pardon me.
That's absolutely okay. Plus, you're quoting, is that JoJo Siwa or is that Taylor Swift? I can never remember. My daughter listens to a lot of music. I can't really tell apart.
Karma will bite you.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So, all right, so let's get into the news because there's a decent amount of it.
Yeah, your first story breaks my heart, by the way.
I know.
I grew up in Michigan. I'm a huge Michigan fan.
Ooh.
And before the season, I said the best quarterback in this draft is J.J. McCarthy. He'll have the most fantasy points. And I'm wrong.
All right. Well, I mean, let's just – J.J. McCarthy out for the year. Darnold is going to start week one, which I believe was on the block anyway. Did you think McCarthy was going to start this season?
I thought he was going to start week one. I still think he would. Yeah, you look at what he did in the preseason game he had.
He did look good, yeah.
Yeah. And we know what Sam Darnold does and doesn't do. So
does this change the value for McCarthy at all? I guess it doesn't for you because you being a McCarthy fan in the first place.
Well, meniscus, no. Okay. You know, it's ACLs don't change the value of a quarterback. You know, a torn Achilles changes the value of running backs and wide receivers, but not quarterbacks. I mean, look at where Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins are being drafted and what's expected of them.
Yep. All right, cool. Jordan Addison was carted off the field. He apparently has an ankle injury, but is not as bad as initially thought. Gardner Minshew named the starting quarterback for the Raiders.
You saw that coming, right? That was inevitable, I think.
Yeah. This one is interesting and a little sad. Rocky hasn't shown up yet. Chad Ochocinco said that Ja'Marr Chase will not step on the field without a new contract. Schefter said he has heard the same thing from other people as well. The world exists where we enter week one with no Lamb and no Chase. Now,
I don't buy it. Chad Ochocinco can say whatever he wants. He's gonna position to try to put pressure on the team to get the player the contract because he comes from a player perspective. But the truth is that Chase has 2 years left on his rookie contract. If he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid, period. Okay? And I don't buy that. You know, players posture every year. Now, CeeDee Lamb is on the contract here, which is the team's discretion. It's an extension that the team signs, but they have to pay him, you know, really good money that year. So yes. CeeDee Lamb might sit out, but I don't think Chase will.
All right. But if you had to give a percentage to what you think of CeeDee Lamb holding out, because it does not seem like they're getting a contract anytime soon.
Well, the team is optimistic. But you know, they're not going to say, oh, woe is me. He's never going to sign. The truth is, I think it's good for fantasy because frankly, look at the last two leading receivers, what they did the next year. Both of them got injured. We haven't had a repeat number one wide receiver since Antonio Brown. I think CD is being overdrafted, to be honest.
Interesting. Love it. I mean, oof. All right. So I'm sure we'll come back to that somewhere. Jaylen Warren could miss multiple weeks with a hamstring injury. Week one status is up in the air. What are your feelings on Jaylen Warren? Because I know he's a give and take kind of player. I'm a Najee guy. I think Najee Harris is different enough where I don't think they really hurt each other. But what are your feelings on Jaylen?
I think I'm with you. Najee had 64 receptions as a rookie. The guy can catch it out of the backfield.
Half of them watch, one game.
And if you watched this week's preseason game, he looks explosive. He looks like he's got it. So I'm on the Najee bandwagon because you can get him as an RB4 for your team. Yeah. You get him as an RB4, there's no risk.
Would you give up a second for Najee right now? 25 second?
Well, tell me how many rounds. Is it rookie-only draft or a
– Rookie-only, 4 rounds.
I would a second in a rookie only. I would not do it in a redraft league because
I can
get him in like the seventh or eighth round.
Oh, no. Malik Nabor suffered his second minor injury at camp last week. It's just something to monitor. Are you worried about when guys have these little minor things, even though they don't miss significant times, you know, just small ankle sprains?
I'm not worried until they miss real games.
Okay.
Because they're, you know, in the preseason, teams are going to be a lot more cautious. I mean, Addison, I think, was carted off on a board, and he had a lower ankle sprain. You know, so, yeah, no, I don't worry until regular season games are missed.
All right. Well, Frank got a little repetitive here, putting CeeDee Lamb again. Jaden Daniels named the week one starter. That was pretty obvious. Jerod Mayo has not ruled out Drake May as the week one starter.
Well, he shouldn't. May will probably start, if not week one. Jacoby Brissett is a serviceable backup. He is not a starting caliber quarterback. You don't draft a guy in the top 10 to sit him.
So, I mean, the Falcons say otherwise.
Well, yeah, but the Falcons signed a guy that's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's certainly played as well as some Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I think Kirk Cousins is a very, very good quarterback. Agreed. And the Falcons are doing what the Packers did with Jordan Love. You have an established starter. You put him under him for a year or two. Let him learn the game. That's how the NFL always used to bring quarterbacks into the league. They would always sit them for 2 or 3 years, and then they'd take over. Well, the Falcons are doing exactly what Green Bay did. It worked for Love. I'm pretty sure it'll work for Penix, too.
Yeah. I don't really think I care about – like, Drake May's fine. Brissett is also, like you said, very serviceable. Like, if anything, like, maybe you just let Drake May survive a year without having to get pummeled behind a terrible team. That's the only reason I would think about sitting him. Not for development reasons, not for anything else. It's just that, why put him out there on a terrible team?
Confidence is the only thing I would say, but why put him out? Repetitions. I mean, Jack Campbell, the coach for Detroit, says it. When guys miss time in training camp, they lose repetitions. Repetitions is the only way they get better. So that's why you want Drake May on the field. That's why Jaden Daniels is starting. That's why Bo Nix is probably going to be starting.
All right. Oh, man, there's more. I thought that was the end of it. Stafford did not finish practice last week due to some hamstring tightness. He is healthy now, but it's a stark reminder the Rams move as Stafford does, and he is not the healthiest player. I'm not worried.
He's old. I mean, again, Stafford makes his money with his arm, not with his hamstring. He's not a running quarterback. So I don't think there's a real issue going into this season.
As long as he can step to the left, step to the right, take 3 steps backwards and plant, he's fine.
You're right.
Happy news. Tyrone Tracy expected to practice this week, which is just beautiful from what the initial news was.
I'm all in on the rookie running backs this year. I like Tracy. I like Davis. And in the Kings Classic auction draft, I got 2 established starting running backs. And then I've got Zamir White and Saquon Barkley as my top 2 running backs. And then I went Corum, Jalen Wright, and Kamani Vidal. Now, I've been hearing rumors Vidal's going to get cut. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's on a rookie contract. It's cheap. He won't get cut for salary cap reasons. But I don't really trust J.K. Dobbins. And Kamani Vidal, 11 carries, 49 yards last week.
Yeah, had a good game.
And 2 catches for 8 yards. So he can catch the ball. He knows how to score. He did that quite effectively in college. And I think he's the most dynamic back on that team.
That is probably a very accurate statement. I like Gus Edwards for what he is. I love J.K. Dobbins. He was my favorite running back coming out of the 2020 class. Not the best, but my favorite. And I want things to go well for him because, again, I really like the player. But, I mean, he's not going to be electric by any definition of the word. So there's absolutely room for Vidal to just...
You know, it's not his Achilles that bothers me. Running backs come back from an Achilles tear. But the ACL, the Achilles is what bothers me because it's a game of inches. If you lose just a little burst as a running back, that's a difference between a 3-yard loss and a 30-yard gain.
Absolutely. All right, but that is the end of the news. So we have Trade Addicts trades and we have listener questions. Which do you want to do first?
You call it.
All right, let's do the Trade Addicts trades first because that's what's next on the list. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1, but it doesn't matter because there are no TA1 trades. The first trade we have...
Okay, excuse me. What is a TA1 trade?
Oh, Trade Addicts 1. There's 11 Trade Addicts leagues.
Oh, okay.
So we go straight to Trade Addicts 4, where we have Dallas Goedert for Jonnu Smith, and a 26-second and 3rd. Which side of that trade do you like better?
Well, obviously the one with the picks. After you get past the first 5 or 6 tight ends, I realize there were 8 last year, but typically it's 5 to 6 tight ends. There's no difference between 8 to 24. So I don't care Goddard or Jonnu Smith. To me, are the same player. They're going to have 2 or 3 good weeks, and the rest are going to be crap. So to get a second and a third round, that's like getting candy from a baby. You're getting a second and third round pick. I want Jonnu Smith in the picks.
Yeah, I mean, the value to me is absolutely fine. Any sort of second for Dallas Goedert's the best you're going to get anyway. I really like, it's funny, I was always a fan of Jonnu Smith, you know, back even on his Titans days, because he was always rather athletic. And anybody who has a job on the Miami offense, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because of what that offense is and what it can be. So
Too many mouths to feed, my friend. Too many mouths. Oh,
again, like you said, like I don't think Jonnu Smith's going to be one of those top 5 to 8 tight ends, but yeah, he'll have some splash games, I think. And that's really what you're looking for when you don't have those top tight ends. Next, we go to Trade Addicts 5, Drake London for Saquon Barkley and A.D. Mitchell.
Okay, so this one you got to look close and make sure it's not collusion, because this is so unfair that these are redraft leagues, or are they dynasty?
They're dynasty.
Okay, dynasty makes it a little bit better because London's a young receiver on the rise. But I got to tell you, Saquon Barkley is going to be a top 10 running back, perhaps a top 5 running back this year. And to get A.D. Mitchell, a young receiver that's got potential, and Saquon, give me the bottom half again.
Yeah, well, I got Drake London in this one. My team is not competing this year, so moving off of a 27-year-old running back was the right way to go. And value-wise, I think Drake London is
probably... Who are your current running backs?
Now, no one. Oh, that's a lie. I have, like, Tyjae Spears.
Yeah, I think I would have kept – I always played it in.
I'm going to try and, you know, get the 101, so I don't need a 27-year-old running back who's going to get me points.
Well, he's going to be good for 2 to 3 years, and that can carry you for a while. I always try to win this year. I never punt on a season because you never know what can happen in a fantasy league. And we're joined by
– Hey, Rock.
I am Rock. Did we start already?
Oh, bring it back. Just let's start the
Can you hear me, Rocky? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I had a little family thing. I don't know if Russ mentioned.
Hey, Rocky.
But I'm here.
Who's right? You got to tell me who's right. Is it Saquon and Mitchell, or is it Drake London? Who do you like best?
Ooh, that's tougher for me than I'm sure it is for Russ.
It's not hard for me at all.
You guys just threw me right in here. I didn't even know we were already on the trades.
Well, I love that Rocky is late to the podcast because he had to help out his family. He's wearing a super dad shirt. It really just made me smile. I'm like, yeah, you are.
I lost my co-host after 2 weeks of podcasting last year because of family issues. And I'll tell you guys what I told him. Family first. Always.
Absolutely.
Always. Yeah. This is a game.
I only mildly yelled at Rocky when he told me he was late.
Like, I'm sticking up for you, Rocky. I'm in your corner, buddy.
All right. So TA5, Drake London for Saquon Barkley and A.D. Mitchell.
So my real answer is probably I'm keeping whichever side I have. I think it's a pretty fair trade. It's
kind of fair, right?
Yeah, I think it's a really fair trade. I'd probably lean Saquon and Mitchell, which I know is not what Russ said.
Because that's not what Russ got.
Yeah, just because. But I think it's super close. I can see in a year from now, this easily looks like the Drake London side. Just because, I don't know, I really think London is going to be good this year. I've said that. You know, we all know I love Kirk. And I think he's going to be, you know, Kirk's number one target. I especially hearing some of the stuff that's coming out of camp, being an Eagles fan, I just have, I guess, more faith in Saquon. And Saquon at least has done it. I mean, Drake's underlying stats all look really good, his rate stats and all that stuff. But he hasn't actually produced at that level yet. It's possible Saquon doesn't produce at past levels, but I just think he will. And you're getting the Mitchell part too as a nice little upside piece there. So again, I probably wouldn't have done this trade if I had either side, but I would slightly lean the Saquon side.
I would jump on Saquon and A.D. Mitchell.
I would give up
Drake London gladly.
If I saw Saquon in real life, I would literally jump on him until many large people beat me up. So I'm going to say two things, not just specifically about this trade, but in general. There are 7 Trade Addicts trades on this show sheet. 5 of them are me. And that is because I was in a very cool, man, let's just do this kind of mood this week. Like, for some things I would have argued or would have continued negotiating, I just let it go. And the thing is, I'm not the biggest AD Mitchell fan. And I got him out in an outhouse challenge a few weeks ago. And so I'm like, look, Saquon for London, it's close, but give me London. And I don't really care about AD Mitchell. So I'm not going to let that stop me. Just give me the young wide receiver. And that's really what it was. Like, I understand that I probably gave up a little bit of value on this, but I was just kind of fine with it.
That's kind of where it's at for me. I'm not a huge AD Mitchell fan either. And I've warmed up a lot. I did not like Drake London that much coming out, but I've turned around a lot on him. I just, yeah, I think the value is slightly on that side. Even if a lot of that value is baked into a running back, which I know you hate, Russ.
Running
back. Hey, Herms.
Yep, Herms is in the chat. So TA6, let's move on to Trade Addict 6. Jordan Love and a 26 second for DK Metcalf, a 25 first, second, and third.
I personally think this is a fair trade, and it depends on the rosters. You know, if you need a quarterback, I think that's a great trade for you to get generally a top 10 quarterback. Mm-hmm. Plus, you're getting a second round pick. You're giving up a lot. You're giving up 3. I'm assuming you only have 3 picks in the next draft. Oh, you have 3, right? Oh, you have 4. So you're giving up your first 3 picks in the next draft. Now, if it's Dynasty, you might have 8 picks in the next draft, in which case the 1, 2, and 3 don't matter. So everything, whenever you evaluate a trade, you need to know everything about it. You need to know both rosters. You need to know future draft picks. Straight as it is, I like the Jordan Love because you're getting the best player in the trade. Rocky. And I do like DK Mitchell. Don't get me wrong.
This is another one I think is super close. And this is going to be funny coming from me. I think I lean the quarterback in this one. I think DK, it's been a couple years now where, you know, DK isn't, and it's not his fault. DK, I think, is great, but I not what he once was, just because of the, you know, Geno Smith of it all, basically. And I do kind of believe in Jordan Love going forward. I don't think he's going to ever be like a top 5 QB, but I think he can be a, you know, QB, low-end QB1 type. And if we're assuming mid-ish for the first, I think that's pretty fair. You're getting you're giving up the first you're giving up the first to get Love. The second and third, that kind of cancels out to me. It doesn't matter that much to me. So I think DK in a first is a fair value.
Yeah, this is another one where I acquiesced. Not my original offer, but the offer before this one was Jordan Love and a 26 second for DK Metcalf and a 25 first and 26 first. And this is me and Jesse Reeves, and I have a huge blind spot with Jesse where he literally was just like, come on, man, just come on, come on, come on. And I was like, you know what?
So are you getting Jordan or are you giving Jordan?
I gave up Jordan Love. And, you know, like a lot of the reason we do this, like you said, context is everything when it comes to making trades. But we try and do this without context, just to pure value, to give people an idea of how to value players in specific situations. And in this one, I have 3 starting. I'm a rebuilding team. I am not competing whatsoever. I also happen to have Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels on my roster.
So you're going with unproven rookies,
yeah,
and giving up your only proven quarterback. And you don't think you'll be a top 5, but if you look at that receiver core, he very well could be a top 5 quarterback.
When I put both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels on my taxi squad and don't have a starting quarterback, I'm going to get the 101 again.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, so you're punting on a season. I never do that.
Oh, yeah. One of the fun things of having so many leagues is you could do that in half of them and compete in the other half, and you end up winning enough to pay for everything else. I really wanted those two firsts. I wanted
I don't play for money. The only money leagues I'm in is when I'm giving money to charity. And so I don't ever punt. I just, it's against my nature to not try to win.
Well, I mean, as someone who works for Fantasy Cares in every single Trade Addicts League and every league I run donates money to charity also.
You understand. Yeah.
So, just, Trade Addicts 8.
Before we go further, let me ask you a question. Did you actually play sports in high school?
No. I am not a competitive person whatsoever.
Ah, okay. I did. And it just, I just cannot try not to win. I have to try to win. In everything.
Oh, no, that part of my brain is broken. I say that constantly. Like, that is not how my brain works. Like, it's really funny because, you know, like when you're getting into fantasy football, you're playing fantasy football and you're just like, yeah, win, 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 win. You get into Dynasty and sometimes you don't always win, but it's just like, at one time I was on a live stream and someone asked, what do you enjoy more, competing or rebuilding? And I froze and I'm like, oh no, I think the answer is rebuilding.
Yeah. And I'm kind of in between the two of you. I play more, you know, I lean more trying to play to win, but I'll definitely tear things down if I need to. I think Russ would probably be quicker to tear. I probably hang on to teams too long.
Let me ask you, if you're the commissioner of a league, right? Mm-hmm. Now what you're doing is not tanking. You're still playing your best players. You're just giving them up in trades to hopefully get better players down the road, which is, that's not the same as tanking. But if somebody in your league were to put their best players on the bench and not start them, would you punish them?
It's in the rules that you have to start your best player. You have to start a reasonable lineup. I think it's vaguely worded, but it shows that you need to start your players.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Trade Addicts 8: Justin Herbert and Jaden Reed, one of those wide receivers that we were talking about before, for Daniel Jones, Malik Neighbors, and Brian Thomas Jr.
I'll jump in on this one first because this one's easier for me, and it's the Herbert side. I'm not as high on Herbert as some people, but you're adding Jaden Reed, who's a pretty good piece there. I know Malik Neighbors is supposed to be great, but Daniel Jones is trash. And I'm not as high on Brian Thomas Jr. as a lot of people are. I mean, and even if I were, he's a totally unproven rookie. But I just don't think Neighbors is worth that much to give up Herbert and Reed. And you're basically banking on Neighbors being a superstar, because I think Brian Thomas is more of a crapshoot. I believe Neighbors is going to be good. but Herm says Daniel Jones is horrible. Many are calling him the Herms of QBs.
No, because that would be a good thing. So how dare you?
Know.
Nobody's mean to Herms, not even Herms.
Exactly.
I think people are overselling Jim Harbaugh as a running-only quarterback coach. Yes, at Michigan, they did run 31 straight times against Penn State. But that was because Penn State couldn't stop the run. They didn't have to throw. So if you think back when he was at San Francisco, he had Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. And people point out that, well, he led the NFL in rushing. Well, yeah, because he had a quarterback that ran the ball 150 times. But that doesn't mean that he won't throw. He's never had a quarterback at the pro level of the talent of Justin Herbert. They're going to throw. Don't get that wrong. They may go 50-50 run pass, which in today's game is run heavy, but they're not going to run more than they throw. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and all of this came into my brain when this was sent to me. First of all, Daniel Jones was my QB2 on this team, by the way. And
so you upgraded to Herbert.
I did.
You did very well in this trade. This is the first one I think I agreed with you, Russ.
It's the first one anyone agreed with me, yeah. And this was sent to me as is, and it was really tough for me to accept because I really like Brian Thomas Jr., and this is one of my very few Malik Neighbors shares. So I was really sad to see them go, but I couldn't not take this. I like this to me again. Actually, that's a lie. It wasn't as is. It was initially Justin Herbert and A.D. Mitchell for Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. I countered switching out Mitchell to Jaden Reed, which is really funny because you'll see why in a second. But I couldn't. I wanted to say no to this. I wanted to because I love those wide receivers and I love me young wide receivers. But you're right. The Justin Herbert stuff is just, it has to be overblown. He's Justin Herbert. He's that good. So I had to take it. And then today I get sent an offer of Brian. Wow. I typed really bad on this one. Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell for Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, Ron Jones. I don't know what I did on that one. I went to type Aaron Jones twice, I guess.
Apparently, yeah.
So I get Brian Thomas Jr. back, and he gives me A.D. Mitchell again, you know, for Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones.
I hope you turned this one down. Now, I know it's Dynasty, and I know Derrick Henry's old, and Aaron Jones is injury prone, but I'm old school stud running back draft. I want three running backs in the first five rounds of a draft. Derrick Henry is going to score 20 touchdowns on the ground this year. And Saquon Barkley's probably going to score 15 behind that Philly line. So you tend to, I think, favor, to me, Russ, check me if I'm wrong. If you're in a redraft league, are you drafting zero running back theory?
I wouldn't even. Well, no, technically, it's the only redraft league I'm in is SFB, and I did not do that.
Yes, yeah, I'm not even drafting hero running back. Rusty, I'm going stud running back. I want three running backs in the first five rounds. Yes, they're old, but I think you could ride Henry this year to a championship.
Yep.
He's that good. I would turn this one down in a minute because you got two young receivers that you really haven't seen anything from. And you've got proven quality at both running back positions. If I'm going to give up Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, I'm going to want a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase. I'm not high on CeeDee Lamb, but I might take CeeDee Lamb. Definitely would take Amon-Ra St. Brown in a point per reception league. But I wouldn't give him up for Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell. Not a chance.
I'm a little different here. I mean, I would also take the vets here. I do think the value is pretty close, just in terms of what they're going for. Henry's generally a late first-ish, and Jones is a second-rounder. This is clearly, you know, rebuilding versus contending. And I think if I had Henry and Jones, I'd probably want a different piece than Mitchell. Maybe something I like a little better, but I think it's pretty fair, but I think I'll take the vets there.
Rusty, why is this fair? You got at worst two second round picks.
I'm going to do really good podcasting and hold something up to the camera, even though it's not coming to focus. It's me right here in the group chat saying I missed Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, so you broadcast that you like the kid, and so somebody took advantage of you. But I don't see any way this is a fair trade. Every fantasy pros, football guys, they all have trade calculators. You plug this in, and it's not going to give you a result. It's going to laugh at you.
Yeah, but Dynasty, Henry's like 30 years old and Jones getting up there.
I don't think it matters a bit. Again, you play to win. And if you're playing to win, you're giving up the two best players in this trade. Brian Thomas Jr. could be a superstar. He could be. Could be. We don't know that. If I'm making a trade to get rid of these two running backs, I want an established wide receiver, and then I would take Brian Thomas Jr. as the throw-in wide receiver. You took Brian Thomas Jr. as the established guy and A.D. Mitchell as the throw-in. I just think you got ripped.
It is exactly fair on the DLF trade analyzer.
Okay.
Just putting it out there. Next trade, Chris Godwin and Foster Moreau for Joe Mixon and Will Shipley. So, I mean, Chris Godwin for Joe Mixon, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Godwin's younger and he's got a brighter future. Mixon will probably do well in the Houston offense. But I think Mixon loses some third down touches to who's their backup running back? Not Damien Pierce, the Cam Akers? Is it Cam Akers?
And they just brought in Cam Akers, yeah.
And Akers actually looked pretty good catching the ball in the preseason. So I think Mixon will lose touches on this one. I think I'll take the receiver in this one.
I agree on this one. I'll take Godwin. I do think Mixon could outscore him this year. I do think Mixon could have a pretty good year in Houston. But, again, just like he said, it's the receiver. You know, Godwin's still got plenty. I don't think Godwin's ever going to be anything super special. But you're probably peaking at mid-wide receiver two at this point in his career. But, you know, Mixon maybe has an RB1 year this year, and then that's probably it.
Dynasty trade calculator has the trade in my favor. So I'm with you guys. The answer is like this season, the answer is probably Joe Mixon is probably going to outscore Chris Godwin, but I don't think I care. Chris Godwin, I think, is better and you'll get more than 1 year out of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. Last trade Addicts 10, Breece Hall, Amari Cooper, and Terry McLaurin for Tank Dell, TJ Hockenson, Isaiah Likely, and a 26 first. That's a long one, so I'm going to read it.
I'm all in on the top. I like Hall. He's young. He's dynamic. Amari Cooper, all he does is catch passes. And same with Terry McLaurin. He's got a good young quarterback. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a good quarterback. I'm not sure he'll be great this year, but I think he's going to develop into a good quarterback. And 26 first is a lot to give up, but Likely and Hockenson, how many games is he going to miss this year? And Likely is a backup and will be one until Andrews is gone. Tank Dell is now the third receiver. He's not even on the field in two receiver sets for Houston.
Yeah, I think I'm going with the top side, the Breece Hall side too. I think even though the other two guys are old, and Hall is a running back, but he has a youngish running back. What is this year? Yes. Three, I think. Yeah. And there is a lot of question marks on that other side. Like you said, Dell, you know, for maybe a couple years is going to be the wide receiver three, potentially, depending on what Diggs does there. Likely doesn't do much for me. I know some people still think he's going to be a thing. I don't really think so. The first is 2 years out, and Hawk I still love, but it's going to be not have a ton of value probably until after this year at best. So, and you're getting three really nice pieces, and Hall's value is super high right now. Like I think he's pretty much the RB2, is he not? Three?
Yep. Behind at least he's my RB2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yet again, you guys pick against me, and I absolutely understand this one. This one you guys are right on. I was shedding age and running backs on this one yet again. This is another I got caught in a lot of teams where I was competing last year and I didn't end up winning. And then I went back and looked at my teams and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm not going to win again this year. So I need to – this isn't a rebuild. This is a retool. Like this is – I know Hockenson is not going to play this year, but next year is going to be my year. And I think Diggs is going to be a one-year guy. And I do still think, well, Tank Dell won't be – everything I wanted him to be based on what he did at the beginning of last year because of how crowded it is, I still think he's going to do very well. Isaiah Likely, I think, will work himself into a role. I'm not the biggest Zay Flowers guy, and put out all the puff pieces on Rashad Bateman that you want. I love that mug, Greg, by the way.
Thank you.
It's a red and white striped sock monkey.
Ice water, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's water. And like the 26th verse is really, but again, what it was about. I'm trying to get players that I think will be able to spike next year and then give me the capital that I could move next year to go get the Amari Coopers, Terry McLaurin's, and Breece Hall's back.
Hey, you know? Russ, let me ask you. In every trade, you seem to give up a good running back.
I hate running backs.
Wait, that's my question. What do you have on your teams at running back? Are you Are you going all in on the rookies this year? Or are you?
Oh, well, the teams I'm competing, I have Christian McCaffrey and Saquon and Kyren. But the teams I'm not competing, I don't have any running backs.
Well, if you've got Kyren, I would dump him. I can understand dumping Kyren because I think Corum is going to take over that job.
Is that why he's on here, Rocky? He's taking your Blake Corum ideas? Like that's
pretty okay, much.
I
yeah.
see it. That's what you're talking about.
Corum is bigger by about 15 pounds than Kyren. He ran a faster 40 than Kyren did. And if you watch any tape of Michigan last year, Corum is the most elusive back I've seen since Barry. And he doesn't go backwards. Corum is so strong. He can deadlift 600 pounds. People don't realize how strong this kid is.
These players are not human, I tell you.
Go to YouTube and do a search on Michigan-Indiana highlights and put in Corum's name. There's a play where he goes off tackle and he's surrounded by five defensive players and not a one of them lays a hand on him.
Cool. All right, but let's move on to our listener questions. We start with Frank, who is not in the chat today, but he's usually Frank in the chat. At what point do you stop looking at talent and start looking at situation? Neighbors and Pickens look great, but their respective offensive look awful. Meanwhile, you have wide receiver twos like Higgins and even Kupp, where you know you'll get better production for their offenses. So when you make a trade, how much weight do you give the situation versus talent, and how does that change during the season?
Well, right. I answered this in the Twitter feed already, but basically what I said is I consider all factors, and I consider them all equally, but I think you're underselling. Higgins is the wide receiver one in Cincinnati until and unless Ja'Marr Chase shows up for work. If he holds out, Higgins stays the number one on a dynamic passing offense. As for Pittsburgh, I don't think Pickens is in all that bad of a situation. I love his upside with Russ Wilson at quarterback. I truly think Russ is going to get the starting job there. I could be wrong. I think Justin Fields is a more dynamic quarterback, but I think Russ reads defenses better and is better at finding his second and third receivers. If you guys like Freiermuth, you want Russ Wilson as the quarterback, not Justin Fields. But I just think Cooper Kupp to me is the number one receiver in LA. I know people like Puka Nacua, but look at the targets that Kupp got when he was healthy last year. I think Pickens and I think Kupp, if I had to choose between the two of them, I like both of them. I would go Kupp. I really would. I think he's got a better quarterback. I like Russell Wilson, but Stafford is one of the top quarterbacks in the league at throwing the ball.
Yeah, I agree. You have to consider all factors. I definitely still way more heavily weigh talent than situation in almost all respects. Originally, when I saw this question, I was thinking, he said, what point do you stop looking at talent, start looking at situation? And my original thought was, well, when you start going to the running back position. But even then, Breece Hall was in an awful situation last year and was the RB8. So, I mean, talent just matters so much. And even if they're in bad situations, I mean, you know, Atlanta got a Kirk Cousins this year. Their QB situation looked horrible. As to what Greg just said, the Steelers, Frank is saying how their respective offenses are awful. I mean, the Steelers offense was not good last year, and maybe it won't be good again, but who knows? Russ played pretty well on a bad, you know, not super talented Denver team around him either.
Yeah.
So it could improve. You don't know. Like, I'm always going to bank them. It's like 80-20 talent situation for me if I had to put a number on it. I'm always going to lean on the talent. Over the situation, even if the situation looks pretty bad.
Yeah. I'll start by saying Pickens put up like 220, 240 PPR points last season with
exactly
trash
in that trash offense. Yeah.
So, and no matter how bad Russ Wilson looks in the preseason, he's better than Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. Sorry. I always have to think about Pickett and Pickens. I'm so glad that they're gone from each other now. I'm not worried about Pickens, but like, just to answer the actual question itself, it's what Greg said. It's unfortunately something you have to weigh in everything all the time. you know, we made the big mistake back in 2019 of pushing AJ Brown down our rankings because he landed in Tennessee and he showed us what's wrong. You know, he showed us what's up. He's just like, you guys want to doubt me? I'm going to show you. And I think we need to just sort of, you know, weigh everything and not just say, well, he's so good, but the situation. All right. Well, no, it's not just the situation. Sometimes talent does show out and there's a balance to it. And I think that's what you got to do. And yeah, you have to try and think about it in your head. Okay, but let's just say Ja'Marr Chase does walk on the field today, just because it's nice and easy to say what as Higgins as the wide receiver too. But at what point is an offense bad enough that you would rather have the Cincinnati wide receiver two versus this other team's wide receiver one? It's all part of the equation as you go. So I don't think there's a line where you say, I'm going to stop thinking about one and think about the other. I think it's something that you're always thinking of both. And then next he says, do you watch preseason? And if yes, is there anyone you've been impressed by? For instance, Bo Nix has seriously impressed me relative to where he was going in rookie drafts.
Well, I always watch preseason first and foremost because I miss football.
Yep.
So, but secondly, everything I see, everything I hear, I take with a huge grain of salt, you know, a mountain load of salt, to be honest. Bob Harris taught me about coach speak.
Yep.
I'm in the Fantasy Hall of Fame because of Bob Harris. He taught me everything I know about fantasy, and I just always thought people were honest, and they're not. Well, there are some coaches in the NFL that tell it like it is. Jack Campbell from Detroit, if he says it, he means it. He does not put up crap. This preseason, Bo Nix really did impress me in that game. So did Javonte Williams. Now, remember, Williams last year was 1 year removed from a torn ACL and I think MCL and PCL as well. So, you know, typically I talked to Dr. Jesse Morse, fantasy doctors, and he told me that it is a 9-month healing process for a torn ACL if there are no complications. But it takes 18 months for a running back to regain confidence in the knee. Now, what does that mean? With a running back, it's a game of inches. I said this earlier in regards to the torn Achilles. The burst that a running back has is critical. It's the difference between a 3-yard loss and a 30-yard gain. If you make that first guy miss, you can go for anywhere from 4 to 30 yards, whereas if he gets his hands on you, you could lose 3 yards. Javonte looked quick. Now, he's never been a dynamic shake-and-bake runner, but he's been a good one-cut runner with power at the point of attack. He looked good this preseason. So while I like Jaleel McLaughlin, he's a 190-pound back, and Javonte Williams will be the starter there, barring injury. So I like Javonte. Zamir White impressed me. People forget how big that dude is. He's a monster of a man, and that team is going to want to run the ball. So those are the guys that really impressed me to start with in the preseason. Now, there's more. There's some wide receivers. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Cincinnati's wide receiver 4, Iosis or whatever his name is, had a really sweet game. Detroit, their wide receiver 4 or 5 had a good game. Williams, I think it's Xavier Williams, but they're not going to be playing that much once season kicks off. You have to be able to determine, you know, what is preseason stats and what are regular season stats. So what I liked about Bo Nix is he made quick check down reads. He got rid of the ball quickly. And what hurts rookie quarterbacks is they overthink and they tend to focus on one receiver. It's not always the same receiver, but it's their first read. It's almost always their first read, and they're not real good at scanning the entire field to the point that a lot of offensive coordinators shorten the reads for rookie quarterbacks to half the field. They only have to look at half the field. That typically hurts their production. Now, C.J. Stroud did not have that issue last year. But let me reiterate, C.J. Stroud and Sam Laporta are unicorns. You do not see that type of result from rookies at their positions very often at all. So I'm not expecting any quarterback in this year's rookie class to do what C.J. Stroud did last year. If any of them make the top 12, I'll be pretty astounded. I'm not expecting Brock Bowers to have a great year. First of all, the entire tight end room in Vegas only had 73 targets. That's four tight ends had split 73 targets. Second, Mike Myers is a pretty good tight end, and he only had 40. So I'm not expecting Bowers to come in and light it up with 140 targets like Evan Engram had last year. So temper your expectations with these rookies. Wide receivers and running backs can explode in year one. Quarterbacks and tight ends don't usually do that.
My answer is going to be much, much shorter, and then you can talk, Russ. No. I don't really watch the preseason. Don't put much stock in it at all. I don't think it generally matters that much. So
yeah, my answer is in between the two of you. I do watch the preseason because I miss football, but I also know not to take much stock in it, so I don't watch it too carefully, like, because it's really more, please don't get hurt, please don't get hurt, please don't get hurt, please don't get hurt. that's really what the preseason is to me. But I do miss football. I do love watching football, and I let people smarter than me, you know, watch more carefully and tell me what to take out of things. Yeah. I loved hearing the Javonte Williams read from you, Greg, because Rocky over here has been saying that since the moment he got hurt, like, I'm going to go and buy up all the Javonte Williams next year because he's not going to be good, but that's not the year I want him for. I want him for that 24 season.
And Rocky, I think you're right. You're going to love him this year.
I hope so, because, yeah, I have way too many Javonte Williams shares. And the only thing I was going to add is the only reason I do care that much about the preseason is that I don't have any Bo Nix shares, but if I did and people were higher on him, I would use it for that. So, like, yeah, if there is anybody that pops in the preseason that people are talking about, then maybe I care a little bit. But I just don't believe that anything in the preseason translates all that much. Occasionally it will, but yeah.
Let me add one thing.
Sure.
The kickoff rules have changed dramatically. If your league gives points for return yardage, preseason is critical to you this year. First, identifying who the kickoff return specialists are going to be, because you're going to get guys that are going to get 120 yards in return yardage in a game. It's just going to happen. You're going to get guys returning four or five kickoffs for 25 to 35 yards per return. That's going to be a player that you can put in as a flex and potentially as a starter.
Yep. All right. Next question. At that Renshaw guy, what wide receivers or wide receiver are the odd man out in Chicago and Houston, both having a big three wide receiver core?
Who cares? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But after the first three, who cares?
Well, no, saying which of the,
three is going to be the odd man out?
You seem to think Tank Dell is going to be the odd man out of the three.
Well, he is. He's going to be off the field in two receiver sets. I live in Houston, and that's all they're talking about.
Okay.
Is that Tank Dell is not in there. Roma Dunze is going to be the odd man out in Chicago. He's not going to be, unless Keenan Allen gets hurt, Roma Dunze will be the third receiver. Now, that said, he's also going to return kicks, it looks like. So, again, he adds value that way.
But Dunze is.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why I say preseason's important. Go and look and see if he returned kicks for Chicago. He did.
I believe you, man. I don't have – like, unfortunately, I kind of agree that Tank Dell was going to be the odd man out. But my hope is that when he's on the field, it'll be for – like, he'll have enough manufactured plays for him that it'll still be able to. Again, his ceiling's absolutely capped by this situation. I just hope not too detrimentally. Chicago, I have absolutely no idea.
For me, I think Adunze is clearly the odd man out in Chicago. I just think the other two guys are way too talented, and it's his rookie season.
Only thing is Keenan Allen's getting old.
He was old last year, and he was pretty damn good.
And he's been injured. He is. I interviewed that kid when he came out His agent at the time was JT Johnson, and he gave us his players. And Gary Davenport and I got to interview him before his first NFL game. And that kid impressed me as a rising rookie. Just head on his shoulders, and he's done nothing but impress everybody ever since.
And with, I was just going to add too, with Houston, from a fantasy perspective anyway, I think it's possible none of them are the odd man out and all their ceilings are capped. Like that one to me is more confusing. Actually, I don't
never leave even if he's not on this. That's what I'm going to say for Chicago. Never take any of your wide receivers off the field.
Rusty, Nico is 6'4". Okay. Nico is 6'4". He is not going to lose the red zone looks.
No.
Nico is not capped at all by that situation. Now the entire passing game may be capped a little bit by the fact that Joe Mixon will get goal line carries that Damian Pierce didn't get last year. But remember, as a rookie, CJ only threw for, I think, 23 touchdowns. That could improve this year.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I want my players to do well. Like I've said before, and like you clearly figured out right away, I don't have the athlete's mindset. I want everyone to succeed. And I don't want anyone to be the odd man out. Next, at @CH_Herms, I'm curious how you feel about some of the outstanding QB competitions, i.e. Steelers and Pats, with teams who haven't named their starters. Well, you already said that we had in the news that Gerard Mayo said that Drake May is not out of the realm of being the starter. Greg, you said he should be the week one starter. I said it should be Brissett because I agree with what Greg said. Greg said, give the kid some reps, get him out there. I don't feel like you need to get him out there right away. Like, no. I would love to see if this offensive line can hold together against a real pass rush, if these wide receivers can actually run routes, get open, and catch the ball before you put him in and get another Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
Well, you're worried about him losing his confidence.
Yes.
Because that's what happens when a rookie gets shell-shocked. I'm not worried about that because I think Drake May showed in college that he can stand up under pressure. I think in this case, if you had a viable quarterback in front of him, if they had a Kirk Cousins, if they had a Jared Goff, yeah, you sit him for a year or two because I think that helps young quarterbacks develop. But if you don't, if you've got a journeyman like Brissett, he's not going to learn anything sitting on the bench behind Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I think with the New England situation, for fantasy for us, I don't know that it even matters all that much. I don't think either quarterback is going to produce a ton.
No. It better, because I got Pop Douglas in a lot of leagues.
I was just going to say, as much as everyone loves Douglas and Jalen Polk and all this stuff, I'll believe it when I see it. But I kind of lean with you, Russ. I don't think it really matters for this year. I don't think the Pats are doing anything this year. I'd say you sign Jacoby Brissett, who's a perfectly fine bridge. Maybe give May a little time just to see everything in live game action and how, like you said, the rest of the team is holding up. If he's going to just be demolished out there, or if these receivers aren't playing that well, do you want to shatter the kid's confidence? So, with the Steelers, I've been thinking this whole time that we probably are going to end up seeing both of them at some point. And I, like I said, I like Russ, and I hope he's going to be the starter the whole year because I have way more Russ shares than Field shares. But I just have this feeling that with a backup with the cachet of Fields, I'll say, that they're going to want to try and put him in there at some point if Russ struggles. So that one, I'm not even sure if it matters. I mean, it seems like Russ is going to start the year, but I think we could see both of them.
Yeah, I went to look to see when the Patriots bye week was, because I figure if that's like halfway through the season, that's like prime. All right, let's see with this kid. But it's week 14. Like, if they're having a losing season and week 14 rolls around, well, 15 rolls around, and they don't put Drake May out there, that feels a little weird.
I'm curious how often rookie quarterbacks actually come in after a bye. Everyone does that. Like, they check the bye and like, oh, he'll start after the week six bye or something like that.
It gives them that extra week.
I get it, but I'm curious if it ever actually happens that often. Or like, I hear that all the time before the season starts. And I'm not like saying it because you said it, Russ. Like,
no, you're calling me out, and I get it. That's fine.
What I'm not doing. I have people say it all the time, every year, and I don't know that it ever actually works out that way.
Yeah, no, but it's just fun to talk about narratives, Rocky. It's about narratives,
of course.
Yeah, I don't have any strong feeling. My only strong feeling about the start. Oh, let's talk about first Herms, who's in the chat, who asked this question. For what it's worth, I'm fine with whoever the Steelers starter is. I just prefer Fields because he's a runny boy. Runny boy.
Well, you want the fantasy points.
Yeah. And well, my answer was going to be I needed to be Russell Wilson for my Scott Fishbowl team. That's the only reason I have any stake in that. I have more dynasty shares of Justin Fields, but since this is redraft for Scott Fishbowl, I need me some Russell Wilson points. That's the end of our show. Oh, well, also, let's not. I asked what your favorite sports video game was, and he said MVP Baseball 2005. And since he was the only one that answered, I was just going to skip over.
Well, I've got an answer for you. You guys are kids. My favorite sports game growing up was horse. We didn't have video games when I grew up. We had the electric where you put the players on the field and it vibrated to move them. Mm-hmm. That was our electric football game back in the day. So we went outside and played horse on the hoop. We didn't have video games. So my brother and I played a complete season of Strat-O-Matic football where you had offensive cards and defensive cards. You'd slide in. You'd bring back the little ball on the spring and it'd go back and forth. And where it landed was the result of your play. We actually kept the stats for each play.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Tracked the rushing yards, the passing yards, and everything. We were kind of we lent ourselves to fantasy. We really did at an early age.
That's so cool. It's really funny. I even made the joke recently, and it's from also in the movie Basketball. I'm really good at basketball, as long as I don't have to do any of that running and dribbling and jumping stuff.
And shooting and passing.
Horse. I can play
and
horse.
And defense.
I can play horse.
I'm maybe a little younger than Greg, but I guess I might be showing my age because my answer would probably be Tecmo Bowl. It was what, the late 80s, early 90s, maybe? I don't remember exactly when, but yeah.
Around that 89 to 91 area, yeah.
I used to love that game. Christian Okoye and Bo Jackson were unstoppable.
I grew up in the 60s, baby.
Neither of us.
I was born in 55, so in 65 I was 10 years old. There were no video games.
No, there was not.
Yeah.
I had the same answer. Rich Sickles replied after we started saying Mutant League Football was his favorite. And that was absolutely Mutant League Football and Mutant League Hockey more than anything, because they had really wonderful names that were like play on characters' names. Like my MFL login name is Bones Jackson instead of Bo Jackson. And my favorite for hockey, Yamir Yager was a famous player for like 87 years, but like back in the day on the Penguins, and his name in the game was Jammin' a Dagger instead of Yamir Yager. That made me so happy. And those games were just so much fun. But also perfect timing. Frank actually gave us that question because backyard baseball is making a comeback, which was a very popular like mid late 90s computer baseball game. Kids with big heads. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming on. It was a blast. You know, thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Greg Kellogg with the Sports Affiliation. You can find the website at thesportsaffiliation.com. I do a Thursday night podcast with Tip Major, this week's guest. We're going to do a later show than normal simply because our guest is with the NFL Network and his schedule was limited. So I think we're doing it at 8 Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. Marcus Grant is our guest this week.
That's so cool. He's such a good dude. And our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record, as you know, you saw us talking to Herms and usually Frank. We also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. But also everything else is fantasycares.org. Donate whenever you can. We have a lot of campaigns going on right now. Sticker of the Month Club. We got, oh man, this weekend is the Fantasy Footballers live show. There's still two sets of VIP tickets you could win by going to fantasycares.org/ballerslive. And still, there is still Underdog Satellites open. fantasycares.org/underdog. Go and sign up. Anyone who joins starting, it was Monday morning, or what day is today? Today's Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, until we fill it up, every entry in is an entry to win a signed Chiefs jersey from the movie Slapshot, signed by like six of the people in the cast. It's so cool. Go check Scott at Scott's Fit. Wow. At ScottFish24's Twitter. I tried to combine two phrases and it didn't work. And he posted the picture of it. But yeah, I'm out of words. So I'm just going to say good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for having me.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.